Soul Sister Radio.
I was a dead man, out in the cold. Life was a pit and I was deep in a hole, just about to give up. Then lo and behold, a voice from within said, save your soul. Yo, brothers and sisters all around the globe, I got a story, word. It's gotta be told to my family, friends, fans, even my foes. It's like this, y'all, this is how it goes. I was out in the world without a name or a goal, huh? Out of school and out of control, set in my ways, yeah, stuck in the mold, and going the wrong way down a one-way road. Young and bold, I didn't want to be told. I used to steal and brag about the stuff I stole. Then one bright day, my mind got blown when a voice from within said, save your soul. I didn't want to be told. Things were looking up and I was on the roll. I was a rude boy and a Romeo, and anywhere I went I started the show. I had money, woman, plenty of gold, and an overinflated EGO. I was a dead man, but I didn't know until a voice from within said, save your soul. A movie, and I was playing the role of a black youth living in the ghetto. Where the action was, that's where I'd go. Right or wrong, I'll be going with the flow. But what you reap is what you sow. It's like karma, the bad you do will follow. You were around, and I was going down, right down, with my face in the ground. Two hands bound to a siren sound. None of my so-called friends anywhere to be found. As I thought to myself, in life you're alone. A voice from within said, anyone home? Yes, Lord, well here I be. If I ain't ready yet, I will never be. I'm sorry for the things that I did before. Believe me, Lord, I won't do them no more. I'll be an arrow if you will be my bow. And anywhere I'm sent, I'll gladly go. I'll be a witness all around the world to every man, every woman, every boy and girl. Cause I was born in the ghetto with a strong survive and with a will to strive. I began to rise from 79, or was it 75? When reggae music began to open my eyes about the truth, the right, Jah the Most High, and how to achieve that little pie in the sky. Inspirated, yeah, I was totally motivated. To the further I decided to chat the mic, but my direction was not to only those of my complexion, but the brown, yellow, red, and the white man. Critics criticize, cynics cynicize, any entertainer with a message they victimize. But in this world I've sinned, it's no surprise. So with the media I sympathize. I hear the rich man's laughter, hear the poor man's cries. Hypocrites advertise their lies through their eyes. Everyone's born, most of us die, but only God's children get the prize. Don't be a fool, be cool, come on and get wise. Yeah, wise up, no compromise, and listen to the voice that resides within your mind. Cause God has sent a guide to all mankind. Choice is yours, life above or death below. It's up to you to save your soul.
Soul Sister Radio.
Rebecca Lawler Limited is the culmination of a lifelong dream for philanthropist and designer Rebecca Lawler. She designed her patented, unique glass heart, which is handcrafted by glass artists in Virginia. Placed in the center is a brilliant gem. The heart can be worn with the Rebecca Lawler Limited signature ribbon or an awareness ribbon of choice. To join the mission of the Hearts of Hope Foundation and add a Rebecca Lawler signature heart to your own personal style, go to RebeccaLawlerLimited.com. That's RebeccaLawlerLimited.com.
Hi, I'm Susan Shengazar. I am The Advocate. Are you a healthcare professional facing burnout? Do you have a heart for the homeless? Have you ever been a victim of domestic violence or sexual abuse? You can learn from my experiences in my books, The Anointing of Mercy from the Heart of a Parish Nurse, or I'll meet you at Winston Wall Street Journal. Journey to my father's palace, destiny, coincidence, you decide. You can find these books on Barnes & Noble, Amazon.com, or Zulon Press, or Google me.
Hello, soul sister listeners. If you're learning and receiving from what you're being fed here on Soul Sister Radio, return the love by becoming a monthly partner of this station via sponsorship, monetary gifts, or as a Soul Sister advertiser. Thank you for your support. Soul Sister Radio.
Welcome to Soul Sister Thursday. This is Maria DiGiovanni, and I want to welcome you to Soul Sister Radio's brand new show, Suddenly Homeless, with Kate Murphy. And Kate, are you there with me?
I'm here.
Welcome, welcome. I want to thank you first and foremost for choosing Soul Sister Enterprise and our network here on the radio and soon on TV to host your first radio show, Suddenly Homeless with Kate. How are you? And I would love for you to introduce yourself to our audience and share a little bit on how we met and why you think God has you right here with me on Soul Sister Radio.
Wow. Well, I'm a single mom. I've been a single mom for about 12 years, and that was never part of my plan. But a few years ago, about 10 years ago now, I became suddenly homeless. And now that I look back at it, I should have seen it coming, but I really didn't. At the time, I was making $50 an hour. I was supporting nine children coming out of my marriage. And I thought everything was fine, pretty much. I mean, it was tough having come out of a marriage and being single and not ever expecting that to happen. But suddenly I lost everything. In the span of less than 60 days, I lost my job, my home, and my children. And I discovered that the fact that I was a Christian, that I'd been a passionate Christian for 20 years, the fact that I had a college degree, 25 years of business experience, that I had no addictions and no mental illness, just didn't matter. I was not equipped to work my way through that situation. I had no clue what to do. So that's what led me to write Suddenly Homeless, and which is my new book that's just being published. It's available on Amazon. And I wrote that book so people might, especially women, might see how I became the person I became and how that contributed to me eventually becoming homeless.
We're going to talk about that in a minute because I wanted to get into some detail with that first question. So we'll come back to that. But share with our audience actually what you do today, meaning what you do. You are the director of iHope in San Clemente. So why don't you share about that and then how we kind of came together, and then I'm going to ask you the first question.
Sure. I am executive director of a little resource center for the homeless in San Clemente. I call it little, but we've served over 1,200 people in the last year and a half.
And yeah, that's
a little. iHope stands for Interfaith Homeless Outreach Project for Empowerment. So we do serve the homeless and the working poor. Our goal is to help them become self-sufficient. I've been there full-time for a year and a half running that little center. And the way I met Maria is that we have a mutual friend that I happened to go to high school with, and Jimmy James. And I had seen, he's my friend on Facebook, and I was talking to him about his music, and I needed somebody to write a song for me. And he said, come and meet me at this restaurant. And as soon as I get to the restaurant, he's there with Maria. And I don't know, there's no way we could have arranged that meeting otherwise. It had to be a God thing. So I found that so much of Maria was what she'd gone through and what she was talking about, really related to as a woman. And I wanted to get to know Maria. I wanted to work with her. And just the more I learn about her and her passion and her insight into things that a lot of people don't really see what's going on behind the scenes in the world. They understand all the spiritual background and all the things that contribute to what we see on the surface in our circumstance. And I really value that. In having gotten to know Maria, and then I became a candidate for a four ambassador, and I'm working on that project, which is a lot, and and to work with her, and so that's pretty much how we met.
Well, what I wanted to share with the audience is, as they all know, I'm a Daemon of the Imperial Order of St. Helen, and I have been praying for Kate for a very long time, as the call of St. Helen is to really reach out to those less fortunate than ourselves, and primarily on looking out for the homeless. So I've been praying for you for a long time without you even knowing it. And it is a blessing and an honor to have gotten to know you the way that we have, and knowing that everything that we're doing, especially your footsteps right now, are being directed by God, and we both are very sure about that. And so, like I said, it's a blessing and an honor to have you choose Soul Sister Radio as your first network to branch out on, and I am just honored to have you here. But I do have a few questions for our audience. You said that you have written a book, your first book. First of all, congratulations. I know what a taxing chore that was for you to do, and you managed to get over that hurdle. But why did you write Suddenly Homeless? And I want you to share that answer on a couple of levels. One, because there are other spokespeople out there that are contemplating writing their own stories right now. So why is it important to open our mouths on that level? And then why did you write Suddenly Homeless and actually call it Suddenly Homeless?
Well, that's an interesting question. Ever since I experienced homelessness myself, I felt like it was my responsibility to share that story. I believe, and I know from the Bible, that every believer, every Christian is actually called into ministry, whether you know it or not. In fact, the Bible says that the pastor's job is to equip the saints, that's all of us, all believers, for the work of the ministry. So when I went through homelessness, the whole time I was in that situation, which was over 2 years, I was seeking God and saying, okay, show me the way out, and then give me the opportunity to help other people find a way out of this. Because it was just way over my head. And that's what I tell people who are going through any kind of crisis situation, homelessness or anything else, divorce, abuse, anything that you've experienced that God has allowed you to go through, the whole point is, what are you going to do with that? How are you going to use that to give glory to God and to help other people? It's such a valuable experience. And as Christians, especially where I live in a wealthy community, we're always trying to hide that. We're always trying to keep up appearances and look like our lives are happy and perfect, when underneath we're living those lives of quiet desperation. We're hiding the truth people. We're not only doing ourselves a disservice by not dealing with what we're going through, we're doing other people a disservice. We could have the very word from God that somebody else needs to put one foot in front of the other and survive one more really difficult day. So I can say face to face to a homeless person, I've been where you are right now, and I can tell you that there is hope that you can come out of this a better, stronger person with a closer relationship with God. And this whole thing will make sense when you come out the other end. Just keep walking one foot in front of the other and serving God. So that's why I tell my story whenever I get a chance. Every time I tell this story, somebody comes up to me afterwards, and it never fails, and they say, thank you so much. I went through something similar, and I thought I was the only one, and I didn't want anybody to know. And if I'd had the courage to talk about it, I could have gotten the help I needed. So that's what's so valuable about sharing your story. But to be honest, I kept thinking about it, and I didn't do anything for years. So I haven't been homeless. I came out of homelessness in 2006, and I didn't do it because we're all busy, right? And it didn't seem like a priority. But then I actually went to a publicity conference in New York about a month ago, and I spent time talking face-to-face with publishers and TV producers and radio show hosts, and five of them said, well, where is your book? And I thought, you know, maybe I'm not being obedient in this. God's trying to tell me, you need to talk about what you went through, and you need to put it in writing so other people can learn from it and it can help them. So I wrote the book in the hope that whoever reads it will get something out of it. They may see something about themselves that's contributing to the circumstance that they're in. We always want to blame somebody else or even the circumstances, but really there's something inside of us that puts us in those situations. We, in a lot of ways, have a lot more authority and control than we think. So I'm go ahead.
No, go ahead. You're hoping what?
I'm just hoping that someone will see. Now, I know what, now in retrospect, I can see what about my personality and the choices I was making, how that contributed to me becoming suddenly homeless. And I call it that because even though my whole life I was basically preparing to become homeless without knowing it, it happened so quickly, I didn't know what to do at that time when it happened.
Well, let me ask you a question here, okay? And I'll get to the question about that you just mentioned in a minute, because there are a couple things. We all know that certain aspects can happen to bring people to homelessness. We all know what they could be, you know, mortgages, losing jobs. But if you could point out one root cause of becoming homeless, what was that for you?
Well, I wish I could say it was just economic, because at the time that was my excuse. It was the economic circumstances, but that's not really what it was. As I look back, I can see my whole life I was a people pleaser. All my life was about avoiding conflict, keeping people happy, staying out of trouble, and when I did see a problem, I ignored it. This is my habit. I ignored it, hoping it didn't go away. And if it didn't go away, then I would put up this shield so I didn't feel it, because I didn't want the pain. And I have learned over and over through my life, I was trained to be a victim and just go along with what anybody else wanted, no matter if it was right or wrong in my eyes, because my top priority was to please people. And I, now that I look back, I thought that's what God required of me, but it wasn't. It was what I felt comfortable with, was people being happy with me.
Whoops, there we go. I had the wrong button on. Now, there's another question. And it's hard for us to ever want to think of ourselves as a victim. As you know, once a victim, always a victim, always a victim until you stop, correct?
Correct.
But what about your life growing up? Okay, this is something that you touched on a little bit ago. What about your life growing up encouraged you to become a victim and stay there?
Well, looking back, I was the fourth of six children, and I was the baby for 9 years. And we were all born right in a row, almost a year apart, just a little bit more than a year. And part of that was because it was a very Catholic family, and in those days, you just didn't, it was in the 50s and the 60s, you didn't use birth control, you just did what the Pope told you to do. I was taught very young that you don't question authority, no matter what, right or wrong, you do what authority tells you, all the way from your parents up to the Pope, your teachers, everybody. You don't have a say in your life. You, and so to some extent that's true, but I was taught, even with my older brothers and sisters, I was not allowed to have an opinion. And I was not allowed to disagree with anyone. My job was to, you know, just stay out of everybody's way. I always felt like my siblings hated me. There was a lot of physical fighting going on between us. And I learned from my mom. My mom went back to school to get her teaching credential when I was in first grade. And she went for about a year, and then we moved to Oregon, and then we moved again 18 months later to California, which is where I spent most of my life. My mom didn't handle that well because she had her dream to be a teacher died. Because at the same time that we moved from Portland to California, she was also pregnant. So, and that was an accident. That was an oops baby based on the rhythm method that didn't work out well for my parents.
Right.
So when they got to California, she had my brother a few months later. And that was when I was 9, he was born. And then a year later, they had another boy because they didn't want my younger brother to grow up like an only child. Well, that was a great plan, except just like my sister and I, they were totally opposites in personality, never got along, fought their whole lives when they were growing up. So it was a good intention, but it was a poor plan. So,
right.
So my dad was rarely ever there. He worked long hours. So after my mom gave birth to my second brother, she went into, I don't know what, some kind of depression or something. She was never there. My sister and I raised my two little brothers. They were 9 and 10 years younger than me. My sister and I basically raised them. I don't know where my mom was, but about a year after my youngest brother was born, my mother developed severe rheumatoid arthritis. And after a couple years, she was literally bedridden, could not even make it to the bathroom. And this was in the early 30s. And looking back now, And I even told her about this later. Of course, she was pretty angry with me because I was like a college student when I realized. I said, Mom, do you think maybe your bitterness and your unhappiness about not being able to have your teaching career, do you think that may have contributed to, you know, you getting arthritis? And she said, well, of course. How would you feel if you had, you know, six little sets of eyes looking at you every day trying to figure out how to outsmart you? And that's when I realized my mom really wasn't cut out to raise that many kids. It was just too much for her. My dad constantly gone. But again, that's the lesson. Like my dad, he went to work for one company, stayed there for 42 years. Not because he liked it. Job practice has killed him. But because that's just what he did. He made a decision and you stuck with it, right or wrong. Well, that developed into part of my victim mentality. Okay, I made this commitment. I can't get out of it. It's horrible, but I'm going to stick it out. You know what I mean? So it was just... So by the time I got, so I always learned the best way you survive is you keep your mouth shut, you complain, you're going to get punished. That's how I survived that childhood. And by the time I got to high school, on the outside, I looked like the perfect child. I had straight A's. I was a homecoming princess. I was on drill team, varsity cheerleader, dated the captain of the basketball team. I was an exchange student to Argentina. But inside, I was isolated and lonely. I thought about killing myself more times than I can count. And I remember this. Every Friday night, I would go out looking for a party in my parents' car. And every Saturday night, I would just drive around, literally, from city to city, looking for a place to get drunk. Because I didn't deal with the scene. And I couldn't talk about it because I wasn't allowed to have any complaints. So
right.
One night, I remember, and I began a lot of heavy drinking at that time, my senior year in high school. And I remember one night, it was about 1:30 in the morning, and I'm driving down a residential street about 75 miles per hour. And in the middle of the street, they had these big light poles, and I thought, you know what? I could just run right into that light pole, and it would be over. I'd be dead. All my problems would be solved. And the only thing that kept me from doing that was the thought that, you know, there's a chance I'll survive that, and then I'll never hear the end of it from my mother. She'll never forgive me. She'll never let me forget it. And the very, just the thought, the terror of having to deal with my mother's anger and disapproval kept me from killing myself. It's not a great reason, but it was a reason. So.
But it was a reason. Wow. We've got 7 minutes left already. How quickly. And we made this available in a four-part introduction, and I'm going to love the next 4 weeks or the next 3 weeks listening to your complete introduction. I, real quick, what we're going to talk about next week is going in from you growing up from high school and going into the next chapter. And again, I think your story is so incredible and so important, because anybody can fall into a place of homelessness. But most of all, there's a lot of us that live with homelessness, even in our own homes. Can you touch a little bit about what it feels to be homelessness, even when you're sitting warm in a home?
What I notice in a lot of the homeless people I deal with is what I call, in my mind, an orphan spirit, where you feel you're all alone, nobody really knows who you are, nobody really accepts you for who you are, and you're always in pain inside, but you can't share it with anyone. And you're embarrassed, and you feel like nobody's going to, and you're afraid nobody will care if you share it. And I remember what it was like. There's a saying, it's better to be single than lonely and married. Was so lonely, desperately lonely, and I was married. And I knew God. So, and I tried to get to know him, but the years of being a victim, you build up this numbness. You go into survival mode, and you're kind of emotionally numb. And it wasn't until a couple years into my homelessness that there was a particular pastor who taught one day. He said that he was a nightclub singer before he became a pastor, and he said that people would say, oh, I love the Lord, oh, I love the Lord, you know, and he didn't feel anything. And but one day he just started saying it out loud, I love you, Lord, I love you, Lord. And within about 2 weeks, he totally felt it. All of a sudden, his emotions were back in order. So I did that. And I just, after I heard that teaching, I spent the next 2 weeks saying, I love you, Lord, I love you, Lord. I said it out loud 25 times a day. And at the end of those 2 weeks, The same thing happened to me. All of a sudden, I felt, oh, I really believe it now. I feel like I belong to God. He belongs to me. I love him. I know who he is. And I heard his voice, and he said, well, that's great. Hey, help me. But he trusts me. So for me, that was a whole new level where I had to start saying, okay, I trust you, Lord. I trust you, Lord. And it took a while. But to me, homelessness means that you don't feel like you belong, that you don't feel like you're loved. And the only place I've ever found that, honestly, is Jesus Christ.
And doesn't he just make us all feel like we're home? Again, I want to thank you for choosing to have this show and I on Soul Sister Radio. And I am just so proud to have you on our team and you becoming a forum ambassador. And really, again, you've been an answer to my prayer because I needed somebody to really be focused on this terrible epidemic that we have in our city. You and I live in the same city and in our state and in our country. And really, being in the United States of America, we should not have anyone who is homeless. And it's just a terrible place to be, even when you are, like you said, living alone. So I'm going to go ahead and give it back to you so you can say goodbye and tell everybody where we can get in touch with you, where we can find your book, Suddenly Homeless, and where we can find you on Facebook.
Well, you can reach me at on Facebook. Right now my website is only Facebook, but it's going to be soon. It will be suddenlyhomelesswithkate.com. But right now it's facebook.com/suddenlyhomelesswithkate, that's C-A-T-E. And my book will be available in about a week through Amazon. It'll be in print and also in Kindle format.
That is so exciting. That is so exciting. How do you feel about your book being available soon?
Relieved, because it was hanging over me for quite a while. And now I feel like I need to write another book, so I don't know when I'll get to that, but I'll get to it.
Well, again, I'm excited. Can you just share with our audience? We'll be back next week, and we're going to touch on what next week?
Well, next week I'll talk about when I got into my adult years, moving away from home, trying to figure out who I was as an adult, how I received Christ as my Savior, and how that didn't work out so well for me at first. So I can get into more of that and how that led into my family situation and eventually to my homelessness.
Well, I am excited. Again, thank you so much, Kate. And this was Suddenly Homeless with Kate on Soul Sister Radio. We will see you next week, Kate, and stay tuned for The Advocate with Susan Shengazar.
Soul Sister Radio.
Rebecca Lawler Limited is the culmination of a lifelong dream for philanthropist and designer Rebecca Lawler. She designed her patented, unique glass heart, which is handcrafted by glass artists in Virginia. Placed in the center is a brilliant gem. The heart can be worn with the Rebecca Lawler Limited signature ribbon or an awareness ribbon of choice. To join the mission of the Hearts of Hope Foundation and add a Rebecca Lawler signature heart to your own personal style, go to RebeccaLawlerLimited.com. That's RebeccaLawlerLimited.com.
Hi, I'm Susan Shengazar. I am The Advocate. Are you a healthcare professional facing burnout? Do you have a heart for the homeless? Have you ever been a victim of domestic violence or sexual abuse? You can learn from my experiences in my books, The Anointing of Mercy from the Heart of a Parish Nurse. Or I'll meet you at Winston Wall Street Journal. Journey to My Father's Palace, Destiny, Coincidence, You Decide. You can find these books on Barnes & Noble, Amazon.com, or Zulon Press, or Google me.
Hello, Soul Sister listeners. If you're learning and receiving from what you're being fed here on Soul Sister Radio, return the love by becoming a monthly partner of this station via sponsorship, monetary gifts, or as a Soul Sister advertiser. Thank you for your support.
lady sits by the bedside of a friend. Not much time in her life until the end. They hold each other and cry that day. Their smiles seem to hide the tears that roll away. She says life is full. If not you, tell me who will tell her of Jesus? If not now, when will she know he is there? All the pain inside never goes unnoticed by a Savior who's waiting to care. Pain will go away. She says, thank you for sharing Jesus with me. If I'm not healed now, there whole I will be. If not you, tell me who would have told me of Jesus. If not now, when would I know he was there? All the pain never went unnoticed by a Savior who's waiting to care. Oh, if not you, tell me who will tell them of Jesus? If not now, when will they know he is there? All the pain inside never goes unnoticed by a Savior who's waiting to care. Oh, if not you, tell me who will tell the world of Jesus.
Soul Sister Radio.
Welcome to Soul Sister Thursday. This is Maria DiGiovanni, and I want to welcome you back to Soul Sister Radio and The Advocate with Susan Shengazar. Susan, take it away.
Hi, Maria. Hello, everyone. I'm Susan Shengazar, and last week we missed you. We were off the air, so welcome back, all of those listening. And I am standing strong against domestic violence and sexual abuse, especially of women and children. It's a passion of mine. And today we're going to be talking about human trafficking. And I just want you to know that we're not the only ones that are standing strong for this. And I wanted to read you something that came in the mail to me. I always get so many wonderful things. And the thing about mail is you won't know what's in it until you open it up. And so I have this report that Joyce Meyer, amazing evangelist, woman of God, put out her transparency to us with her annual report. And she's been in ministry over 30 years, and she also helps so much with human trafficking. And this article particularly caught my eye, and it's been titled, When Hope Leaves You Breathless. It says, it was beginning of Joyce's Detroit conference. Music was playing. People were laughing and chatting up on the stage. The host began tossing T-shirts into the audience, and it turned into something you see at a Tigers baseball game with T-shirts flying. People began jumping, waving their arms, and diving to catch one. As if it was meant just for her, Lana reached out and grabbed a flying tee.
As she unrolled the T-shirt, she read the words that would leave her breathless. Hope, 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 hope. Hope written four times on the back shoulder was a baby-sized handprint near the Hand of Hope logo. She immediately thought of her four grown children and the one baby they aborted years ago, who they later named Hope. Overwhelmed by this unexpected reminder of God's forgiveness and how he redeemed their family over the years, Joe and Lana decided to spread some hope of their own. So right after Saturday's conference session, they joined our Multiply Hope campaign and the group of volunteers distributing diapers, wipes, food and supplies to struggling families in their local community. Joe and Lana knew something as seemingly small as a package of diapers can bring hope to someone, because they had experienced their own very moment of hope through something as simple as a T-shirt. And I just want to say that on the topic of human trafficking, Joyce Hand of Hope supports four homes that care for more than 100 women and two children, two in Ethiopia, one in India, one in Thailand, also partners with five other organizations to rescue women and children in seven additional countries, Bulgaria, Greece, Ukraine, and A21 Cambodia. She rescues Home in Lesotho, Beautiful Dream Society in Moldova, Freedom House, United States, the Dream Center in Los Angeles. She has prison ministries, TV, radio, inner city, water relief, books, children's homes, conferences, disaster relief, feeding programs, and she's gone worldwide. And so today I'm going to bring to you a woman who also has the same passion here in Los Angeles, who is standing up for this problem we have with sex slaves, human trafficking, people being in prison, kidnapped off the streets, being tied to a bed at the age of 10, and then finally being freed at age 28 years old. What's wrong with this situation? Our children are so vulnerable and at risk, and it's not tied to just poverty people. And so I want you to know that about 4 years ago, I wrote down that hope spelled backwards means every prayer opens heaven. And I had begun at that time to pray for people to be released from prisons that were in a sex slave situation and stuff, because it just hurt so bad to know that they were being victimized, not just once like some of us that have spoke out and said we were raped, and that was a traumatic episode for us in our life. But these women and children, male and female, sex slaves, they're being tormented daily for years. And the healing process that they have to go through when they come out of it is so horrendous, not to say even that they have to be hid again because their pimps, their owners, their, you know, are looking for them, and they constantly are looking back. It takes a mighty force of people to be strong and stand with them. And I just, some of you may not know this, but the word live, if you spell it backwards, it's evil. And so there's a lot of evil in our world, and I just want to thank those who are standing up and being the advocate against bullying and human trafficking and homelessness and children at risk in the world, and being a person that cares and doesn't just turn their back and think that it's someone else's job. I want you to know that when God calls you, it's just as easy as that passion that's put on your heart and you feel it and it burns inside of you. That's God telling you, I have something for you to do. And it will burn inside of you until you take hold of it and you step out of your comfort zone and walk into your destiny. And that's all it is. And people don't know that that's how God works with you. He puts something there, and it's a passion. And so today I have with us, and we've had her on our show before, but this is such a big topic that I had to bring her back. And last weekend, they were on the streets again. And so I bring back to our show Lindsay McGraw.
Hi.
Are you here with us?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh. Hi.
Lindsay, welcome back.
Thank you. And we have also somebody very special that's joining us that's been working with us for the past few weeks. Are you there?
And can you tell us the name of your guest?
His name is Jeff.
Okay. Well, why don't we just talk a little bit before Jeff comes on, if he's late getting on. And
right.
I know last weekend I wasn't able to be with you, but you guys went to Venice Beach, and I haven't heard everything that went on, but why don't you update us about your mission here with grabbing these girls off of the streets and helping them get rescued from sex trafficking?
Yes. First, I want to say that I also received Joyce Meyer's annual report, and it is such an inspiration. It's just something that we should all aspire to, and it's so possible. And it was, it was an extraordinary thing to get in the mail and read through. So, yes, God has laid in my heart, my heart aches. I actually feel like I can hear these girls out on the streets at night. You know, I wake up and it's like I should go out there and, and see who's crying and hurting and what I know to be true from a lot of the survivors that we've spoken to is that there's a very small window of an opportunity when these girls have had enough, just like the young girls that were, kept and bonded and, trapped in that home for over 10 years. There was a very small opportunity when everything is right. Like, I feel safe, I can go. If I say one more minute, he's going to beat me to the point where I'm going to, lose my life. I mean, we need these street outreach programs here in LA out there, not once a month, not once a week. We need them out there every day. And we're really failing our, these girls right now because, a lot of these organizations have pulled back, because it's very dangerous out there. The gang members have, are not selling drugs or weapons anymore. They're selling girls over and over and over again. So, being out on the street and ministering to these girls and, letting them know that they have a way out, we're interfering with their livelihood and their income. So what we have created with Third Echelon Investigations, Operation Rescue Human Trafficking Task Force, is a security and extraction team to support these street outreach organizations. There's so many here, Dream Center, Nightlight, After Hours, Mary Magdalena Project, and none of them are really going out right now because it's just too dangerous. And so that's where our heart is at. That's what we're working towards right now, is to provide this much-needed security, not only for the street outreach program and volunteers, but also the girls. when they are ready to go home.
Lindsay, can you describe one event that you were at where you guys rescued someone? What went on and the emotions and everything behind it, if you would?
Well, right now, we here in Los Angeles are not on the streets yet. Our particular organization is very new, but we do have one of our first responders who is a female, and I emphasize that because I feel it, like in law enforcement and with the street outreach, the first person that needs to meet with these girls has to be a female in order for them to feel safe and feel like somebody that they can relate to. So we have a wonderful organization up north called Love Never Fails, and Shirley Moore is a first responder, female first responder. She's a private investigator and very highly trained. She provides the first responder, female first responder, to a three-part team that works as security and extraction for these girls. And so they are pulling and being able to bring at least one girl off the street every time they go out. But unfortunately, they're only going out once a month because of funding and lack of funding. So it's frustrating because there's a system that works, so we have to, gather the community and get people to understand that there is a system that does work. We need to implement it here and everywhere. So,
you know, Lindsay, today on the web, CNN reported that there was a Natasha Kampusch, and she was in 8 years in captivity, and the man happened to turn his back, and she fled to a neighbor, and they called the police, and she was released. And it's just amazing that this is the 13th year, and reverting back to the Bible, when Joseph was in captivity in the 13th year, Pharaoh pulled him out suddenly. And I believe that a lot of people are being let go this year. And I believe it because people like you who are a woman of faith and a lot of us who are women of faith are praying for this. And so I believe even if we don't have all the manpower, that we can still open doors for these people that are in prison by continuing to pray for them until our forces in the flesh are put on the front lines and out there. And I'm sure you agree with that because you pray also, and I know that. But every
Absolutely.
Day I see it.
Yes. And I think with our X'd Out campaign as well, you know, it is about mass awareness. And I think once people stop turning a blind eye to this problem and they just recognize some of the telltale signs that somebody is being trafficked or held against their will, then we can respond and we can act, and it is going to take the community. It's not just isolated to, you know, teams that we're putting together or street outreach programs, because it could be any time of the day where these, these girls are wandering the streets or, somebody that's kept in, is in a home and is a slave laborer in a home, you know, cleaning the home and, you know somebody's in this home, but you never see them leave. I mean, just little signs. If people just went to, some of the websites that educate people on the different signs to look for, I mean, we could all make a huge difference today just by educating ourselves and just opening our eyes to it, even just a little bit.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I was with a group of women a few months ago when Brooke Bellows, she's a sex trafficking survivor from, was out here visiting from from Florida. And most of the women spoke out and said, I'm guilty because when I see these young girls in the middle of the day with short shorts on or, small shirts and, walking around with high heels, or my first thought is, where is their mama? And, you know, we're just quick to judge and think that this is just the child that's, you know, parents are looking the other way, or they don't care about her. She's a throwaway child, or and it's, you know, that's not the case. 100% of the time, it's not the case. So, yes, to not judge so quickly, and to, you know, have an understanding and an empathy for what's going on in our communities.
Lindsay, you're doing the photo campaign. I want to talk about that a little bit, and the response that you're getting from this. And I know I was part of one of your photo groups, but you went out on Venice Beach last weekend. What was the response that you had being out in the open on the beach in public? I saw some of the photos. They're amazing.
They were lovely. It was such a colorful day, very different from what we're used to doing in a studio in a contained, you know, setting and, you know, lights and everything like that. But I got down there at 7 o'clock in the morning and just started talking to some of the vendors that were waiting to set up and, you know, sell their art along the boardwalk. And I met with this wonderful man. He was in his 60s. His name was Winston. And I was asking him, you know, what are the rules of the boardwalk, you know, to be down there. And we became fast friends. And I shared with him what I was doing there. And about a half hour later, he brought a book to me, and it was a book written by a young lady that was on the streets. Her mom was, it's a beautiful story. It's, you know, it was just somebody that said, I have a story and I've got to get it out. And I hope that whoever finds, you know, this book reaches their hands and their life, you know, that it touches them and they have an understanding. But it was just as extraordinary journey of this woman about her understanding of her mother, who was sexually abused as a young child, and how it just it ripped her soul. You know, she had no soul, and there was no parenting around to help her and save her. She was in that situation because her mom was so busy working, and you know, she was in the care of who she thought were, you know, nice neighbors, but they were exploiting her and, you know, raping her. And anyway, everybody we met that day had a story. We had this amazing clown, beautiful lady that came over and posed for us, and she shared that she was a victim of rape, and now she wants to help and volunteer and you know, help us do the work that we're doing. It's just everyone, it's just beautiful stories, beautiful, beautiful stories. We had an opportunity to listen to people, and there was an extraordinary sharing going on. It was really amazing. And when people pose for this campaign, they take a stance when the camera's about to click. And it's really wonderful to witness. And there's this, I don't know how to explain it. You pose, so I think you know what I mean. It's like your whole body gets engaged with this message that's written on your arm, and your everything about your demeanor when that picture is taken is saying to the public who sees these photos, you know, I really mean what I stand for here. I, you know, with every ounce of my being, I believe this has to change. It's really wonderful to watch. And I just like, wow, you know, these people are really, you know, I don't know. What is the word I'm looking for? They just...
It's actually, Lindsay, it's a boundary that was taken away from us when we were victimized.
Mm.
And that's what comes out in the photo. It's like that word stop means you cannot touch me.
Mm.
And so I know, because I see the same thing. Every time I look at each photo, it's like... someone cares now. Now my voice is being heard. Now I have a right to say stop because I didn't have that right before because it was taken away from me. That's what your photos are showing. It is so powerful. Everyone I've showed my photo to has said, oh, my gosh. And it takes their breath away because they realize that we have the right to say no. But even when we say no and they force it on us, it's a right that was taken away. So you're giving people back their voice by putting that on
beautiful.
Them.
Beautiful. Thank you.
Do we have Jeff with us yet? Is he on the line?
No. You guys, no, he's not on with us yet.
Okay. Do we have anyone in the chat room, Maria?
They keep coming on and off. They're just saying what amazing it is, how amazing the show is so far, and they want to know a little bit more about the photo shoots that are coming up.
Okay. Yeah, Lindsay, we have, I saw one was, the date was changed. What do we have coming up, and where can people get involved and follow you?
We did just have a shoot in on the Venice Beach Boardwalk. We do have an extraordinary photographer and studio in downtown L.A. We have changed the date. We're going to be doing it sometime in July, but we haven't collectively gotten together and figured out what that date is yet, but I would imagine it's going to be after July 4th. And we will announce that on our website. You could go to www.xd-out.com, xout.com, and you can see all the extraordinary portraits that are up right now. I think we have over 250 people that have posed since we started this campaign.
Yay!
About 3 months ago, yeah. And we've had 6 photographers that have donated their creativity and their time and their resources to the campaign. So every shoot is a different photographer. They have the freedom to bring their own expression of what this means to them, to their portraits. And it's wonderful to collaborate with each and every one of them. And so right now, I don't have any set dates for you, unfortunately, but we are geared up for 2 a month. And we will be venturing out here from L.A. and heading to San Diego and up north to San Francisco area. And then Atlanta keeps asking us to come out there, so that will probably be our first stop
I also see you're going to Orange County.
Yeah, well, Orange County, San Diego, yes. We want to hit a lot of the areas where the tracks are, where there's a huge support right now for, you know, the trafficked children. And so, yeah, we're going to be mapping that out here in the next week or so. So we might even have a few dates once you go to the website. But, yeah, unfortunately, nothing right now. Just a lot of great images that you can go and be inspired by and their stories. And
Lindsay, this is amazing work that you're doing. And we're going to take a station break. And while we're on break, I'll see if we can get Jeff on the line with us. And we'll be right back with Susan Shengazar, Lindsay McGraw, and The Advocate.
Soul Sister Radio.
Rebecca Lawler Limited is the culmination of a lifelong dream for philanthropist and designer Rebecca Lawler. She designed her patented, unique glass heart, which is handcrafted by glass artists in Virginia. Placed in the center is a brilliant gem. The heart can be worn with the Rebecca Lawler Limited signature ribbon or an awareness ribbon of choice. To join the mission of the Hearts of Hope Foundation and add a Rebecca Lawler signature heart to your own personal style, go to RebeccaLawlerLimited.com. That's RebeccaLawlerLimited.com.
Hi, I'm Susan Shengazar. I am The Advocate. Are you a healthcare professional facing burnout? Do you have a heart for the homeless? Have you ever been a victim of domestic violence or sexual abuse? You can learn from my experiences in my books, the anointing of mercy from the heart of a parish nurse. Or I'll meet you at Winston Wall Street Journal. Journey to my father's palace, destiny, coincidence, you decide. You can find these books on Barnes & Noble, Amazon.com, or Zulon Press, or Google me.
Hello, Soul Sister listeners. If you're learning and receiving from what you're being fed here on Soul Sister Radio, return the love by becoming a monthly partner of this station via sponsorship, monetary gifts, or as a Soul Sister advertiser. Thank you for your support. Soul Sister Radio.
Welcome back to Soul Sister Radio. I'm Susan Shengazar, and the advocate against domestic violence, sexual abuse of women and children. Today we have with us Lindsay McGraw, who is on the streets, on the front lines against human trafficking, sex task force, and they are professionals making this happen. Before we bring Lindsay back, and possibly with her guest, Jeff, I just wanted to put a prayer out there for all the victims who are in bondage right now and looking for release and someone to rescue them. Heavenly Father, keep their souls and deliver them. Be pleased, O Lord, and deliver them. Make a haste, O God, and deliver them. Deliver them with your righteousness. Deliver them, O God, out of the hand of the enemy. Deliver them from their persecutors. Deliver them out of the great waters. Deliver them from the oppression of man. Deliver them according to your word. Deliver their soul from lying lips and a deceitful tongue. Deliver them from the enemies and hide them. Surround them with songs of deliverance. Command deliverances for their lives. Deliver them from all fears. Deliver them out of all trouble. Deliver them from those who hate them. Deliver them out of any distress. Send your word and people and deliver them out of destruction. Deliver their soul from death, their eyes from tears, and their feet from falling. We call upon the name of Jesus and help deliver them. Deliver them from the power of the lion. Through your knowledge, they're delivered. Through your wisdom, they're delivered. And God, let them receive miracles from deliverance in their life. And I just thank you all that are listening to know that anytime you can call into this show and leave a message for us, we'll answer your question. If you need a support person or prayer, please call in and let us know. We can hook you up with people probably all over the world because we have people all over the world ready to do this. So I bring back to our show Lindsay McGraw and hopefully her friend that she wanted to bring on with her. Lindsay, are you back with us?
Oh, yes.
Hallelujah. Lindsay, I'm looking at these wonderful hats that you have. They're so cute with the black and the magenta writing on them. When did they come out?
That's actually hand painted. So right now we have one of each that will be part of our raffle for our next campaign shoot. So yeah, they're very special. And a dear friend of Jeff's, the CEO of 3EI, his friend is an artist and was inspired to make them for us. So we'll definitely have to get more. I think a lot of people are going to want that one hat, so that's good.
Oh,
hey,
yeah.
Exciting. I wanted to share some amazing victories that we're having right now. I think a lot of people know that Proposition 35 passed, and it was an overwhelming success. In Orange County, they had their first conviction with Proposition 35, and they were able to put this pimp away for a very long time. And they are very excited to have had that happen in Orange County. Orange County is a very proactive and aggressive community. They have their Orange County Human Trafficking Task Force. It's been around for quite a while. Salvation Army, the Anaheim Police Department, they have a great anti-human trafficking task force. And volunteers in the community and law enforcement really get behind this crime. And so they've had their first great success that they're celebrating. Also, our very own Andre, Lieutenant Andre Dawson here, our LAPD, brought back the USC professor from Mexico. He was part of that operation, and this man was caught, you know, soliciting sex with, I think the youngest was a 9-year-old boy. So, yeah, we're not standing for this anymore.
I'm so excited. I was reading that on your webpage. The Senate Bill 673, can you tell us more about that?
That's still in effect right now. So there's a lot of bills that are out there. Unfortunately, some states haven't passed any bills, and then there's a lot of states that are leading the way in an example of what we should all be doing. California is a little behind, but they're catching up. There's a lot on the table, depending on of course the area that you live in, the state that you're in, and who's behind that. So, but you and I still have to go out and see Garcetti and talk to him and get him, make sure he's behind all of us here in LA.
Well, I'm going to enjoy doing that, aren't you? I think we need to welcome everybody into office and just show them who's out there that they haven't met yet.
Yes.
So I'm up for it.
An invitation. He did get an invitation to our next campaign. So if he doesn't come to us, we'll go to him.
That sounds great. Did Jeff come on the line yet?
How would I know that? I don't know. I don't think so.
Yeah,
no,
all we can do is actually ask.
No, that's okay. No, he has not. But as soon as he does, I'll let you guys know.
Okay.
So, Lindsay, your daughter is also part of this. Do you want to tell us about that for those who didn't hear our first show that we had you on?
Yes, I've been so blessed to have such a supportive, amazing, supportive daughter. Our hearts have been in this, or my heart has been in this, for more than 15 years. But it was only a few years ago that I just really felt compelled to start, working really hard at bringing an awareness. That to me was the first and foremost, and I still believe that the media of television and film is the best way to reach people and educate them. And so, yes, my daughter Aria has been helping develop different programs that we've had. We have a few PSAs that we did a few years ago that she's right there beside me with. She does all our website and all our art department, all our press and media information Aria puts together. And, she doesn't have to do this, and I just feel so fortunate that I get to work with her every day and that she's a part of my life and a part of this cause. It's wonderful. And my granddaughter, she's been in the PSAs and in the trailers of our projects, and she proudly wears our task force T-shirt to school, and so she's awesome. She's awesome. It's kind of sad, but it's sad and it's good, but these children need to know about this at an early stage. Hey, I don't know if you saw this morning, but one of my friend's posts, she had said that she was at a gas station. And she pumped her gas, was ready to get in a car, and a man came over and said, you know, there was something wrong with the payment. I need you to come inside, and we need to run your credit card again. And it felt odd to her because, first, she didn't think that he worked there, but second, her card did go through, and she got the receipt and everything. And when she turned around, there was a man that was trying to get in her car. And so right now what they're saying is the way they are abducting women is they are distracting them when they're in a situation like pumping gas, the car doors are unlocked, you know, they're walking in and out to pay or get water or whatever it is, but they're leaving their car unoccupied and unlocked. And these people are getting in the car, hiding in the back, and they're taking the women and the cars, and they're this is a new way now that they are abducting women in plain sight in the middle of the day and night. And so we just, everybody has to be so careful. And I've never been that person that was motivated by fear ever in my life. And it's not fear that I'm motivated by. It's if you're educated, there's such a grander chance that it's not going to happen to you because, you know, you're going to do the right things. You know, you're not going to be talking on
it. It's not fear motivation. It's putting out the awareness because really some of us walk around in our everyday life and we don't give it a thought. But when you hear stories, it makes you stop and listen and go, oh, my gosh, I do that. I pull up, put my card in, get my thing. And when people talk to me, I'm polite. I turn around and talk to them. But the thing is it is just another eye that we have to give them to be careful because not everyone is our friend.
No. No, that's very true. And now more than ever, sadly, you know, it's just, I mean, how often the things that we're hearing in the news now, you know, maybe been going on for a long time, but we're now really, really hearing about them, you know, like a child that's been taken out of her bed of a two-story home, you know, out of the, like the man came through her window, like, it's just these people stop at nothing. And, you know, everybody, unfortunately, now just has to really be on their guard and aware of their surroundings and everything that's going on. You know, when we were growing up, it was stranger danger. You know, don't talk to strangers. Nowadays, if you got in a car with a stranger, these young girls, lives will never be the same again. You know, it's just horrendous what they're put through, mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually. And like you had said earlier, it will take a lifetime to unravel the injustice and the, you know.
And healing is available for them because I use the example of yourself and myself, Lindsay. We both had a background that had abuse in it, and we are healing and healed and still standing up for what we know is right to be someone for someone else. And
yes,
that's the good thing about it is we have tools to get to be who we are today for other people. I also saw in the news today a man who was on a date site and didn't have a car, so he was accepting a ride from a girl who was picking him up for a date. He gets in the car. She has her two brothers in the back seat that she says she's giving them a ride home. Can she drop them off first? And they end up holding him at gunpoint, taking his money, beating him up. He almost loses his life. They dump him on the side of the road, make him strip naked, and leave him there. So it is not a crime that only happens to women. We have people who are victimized in other ways, and there's also so many young boys and older boys who are in prostitution, and it's sad, it happens, and it's not just women, it is also men. But these perpetrators will do anything to get you to submit to them. They'll take you by force. Once they have you, they use intimidation and fear tactics. And so we want to get to these girls, hopefully, that are just on the street so we can get them sooner than later. But the ones that are in there for a long time, I've heard stories and testimonies and amazing stories of people who have survived it. And one woman I had on the show, she wrote the book, My Daddy, the Devil, and Me. Her father was the one who pimped her out. And it happens.
Mm-hmm.
And it's disgusting. And so I wanted you to let us know what else you have going on for your ministry and how people can get involved to help, what kind of help you need.
Yes, thank you. So as a new nonprofit, we're still finding our way. We are out there meeting the community, asking them what they need from us. We are an organization that wants to provide for other organizations, and you know, we've been talking with business owners in an area that have a very bad problem with prostitution. And we want to make sure that they're not angry at these girls, and they're not seeing them as the criminals and as, you know, the people that they want to just push out of their city. We want to make sure, you know, when we're showing up to these community town hall meetings, and that everybody has an understanding, you know, that these girls and these children need help, and to not make it somebody else's problem. So those are some of the immediate tasks at hand that we have, our goals. Also, we are putting together our team of first responders and security. And so we've been, you know, on the streets training and just been holding a lot of interviews and meetings, so we're kind of in that early stages. We are ready right now. We've had several calls in the last 2 weeks. We've been standing by if we're needed. You know, we've been ready to go at a moment's notice for a couple of our partners who are, you know, do take calls from young girls. You know, they've been in business for 30 years, you know, organizations have been around for a very long time, and so the girls, some of these girls do know where to call and say, I'm ready to come off the street, please come get me. So so we have a small but mighty team right now, and what we need from the community is, we just ask you that you just educate yourself. Listen to the news. Don't turn it off when you hear this going on. Have some compassion for these young girls that are on the street, and don't be judgmental. And you know, we're always looking for. It's, you know, it's weird. I was having a conversation with myself today. It's like nonprofits are they are. They belong to the community. So I was like, it's weird to me to call people volunteers when they're really, like, nonprofits can't work without the community and without people getting involved. So I was like, I want to come up with a different name, because we're all volunteering, first of all. And again, it's just like, this belongs to the community. So I don't know. So, yes, we're always looking for people to make a time commitment to, you know, we want to go back out to the Venice Boardwalk with a bigger team so that we can talk to more people. But really, before anybody does get involved, they do have to have an understanding of this crime. They have to have an understanding of, you know, when somebody does come up and share something this intimate and you know, this serious, that people know how to handle it properly. So, yeah, so that's super important. You know, there are different levels of volunteering, and, you know, again, I mean, everybody just really needs to educate themselves first. I mean, that's our biggest ask of the community and the people that we get involved with, you know, you can go online. Homeland Security has an online, it's a wonderful tutorial video that you can do in 10 minutes, and it just gives you an overview. You can Google human trafficking and all kinds of PDFs and training manuals from law enforcement to nonprofits will come up. And, you know, if you just take those and read through them, just give yourself an understanding, that's huge. That's a big step for anybody in our community right now, just really to open up your heart and your eyes to looking for the signs. And, again, you know, you could be just like, you know, you as a nurse, anybody could be a first responder. It's the first person that is approached or approaches, you know, a person that is being, you know, held against their will on all kinds of different levels of human trafficking. But how are you going to communicate with them? And also, we do have to be so, so careful, because if you are talking to or approach somebody that you think they can get in a lot of trouble if you do approach them, you know, they could be being watched. There's a whole rule and game on the street. Girls can't look at other people in the eye. They have to keep their head down. They have to walk in the street. I mean, it's very well-run system. They've got their own language. They've got their own rules, their own laws. And it's all, you know, so covert. Like, it's nothing that we would even comprehend. How they've come up with what they've come up with. It is just, it's horrendous how these girls are told to act so you have to be so careful even approaching somebody that you think's being trafficked, because you could really put them in a lot of danger as well. So education is the key right now for the community, awareness and education.
Lindsay, you had some very young volunteers. When I came to your meeting, you had two college students, but they have been in this for a few years in training. I was so amazed at their age, their level of knowledge and professionalism for their age. It seemed like they were already in their 40s with the knowledge that they had. I was just sitting there saying, wow, this is not your average kid, and you would never suspect this person of being a decoy on the street on a team like this.
Isn't that inspiring and just amazing? And they brought their 16-year-old cousin out with them to Venice. And here, what touched my heart is that here are these young girls talking to other young girls about this problem, and that to me was just priceless. And they were being a voice for these victims that don't have one, and it was such a lovely moment to see that, you know, that that's where their hearts are at such a young age. Yeah, it's quite extraordinary. It's every day now. Like, sometimes I go into, you know, like we all do, we go into, you know, being the hostess of a party or our events or whatever, and we kind of get caught up and we want everything to be perfect, and I hope everybody, you know, is happy and everything's going okay. And I've just learned now that just to wait for the amazing miracles, like, we didn't reach or photograph a lot of people in Venice, but the people that we talked to were so... Every one of them was a miracle, and every moment of that day, because it wasn't, you know, in my eyes, perfect, because there wasn't a lot of people, and it could have gone differently, but at the end of the day, it was miraculous. Like, just, there were so many golden moments. And so now, you know, I'm just really learning to let go and be excited to be able to, you know, at the end of the day before I put my head on my pillow, just go, oh, wow, that was amazing. And, oh, my gosh, and that was incredible. And that really moved me, and that really inspired me. And, yes, so when we see 18- and 19-year-old, actually fiancé, you know, a couple coming together, traveling from Fullerton to come down here and, you know, be a part of this, that's inspiring, and it's it makes you want to get up the next morning and do it all over again.
Absolutely. Lindsay, go ahead, Maria.
This is Maria, and I want you to share with your guests who I met on the airplane ride coming back, and I want you to Google him. His name is Kenneth V. Hardy, and I did not know who this gentleman was, but I knew that he, in his field, he's an advocate for exactly what it is that you are an advocate for, and traumatic things that are happening to young women, especially when it comes to this topic. So I would like for you to Google him. Again, it's Kenneth V as in Victor Hardy. And there is a YouTube of this gentleman that when you get off the air, I would like for you to take a moment. And it's 3 minutes and 33 seconds. And I don't believe in coincidences, so read John 3:33, and you will find out what I mean. And Susie, you have three more minutes and 33 seconds. Go.
You gotta love my producer Maria. She is just so on the moment sometimes, and she just came back from Virginia doing a wonderful venue with a friend, having a bonding episode with a girl, and I just was looking at your mission here, that on the website it says we're committed to providing a methodology for safely locating and rescuing youth from sex trafficking situations, including physical removal and or private investigation, to support street outreach programs and law enforcement efforts. Law enforcement's limited on what they can do with regard to a response. Nobody do this alone. If you see anything happening, go to law enforcement, go to someone's website, Google it, look for it. And I definitely want you to check out Lindsay McGraw on Facebook. Like her on Facebook. The more likes we get, the more this message goes around. We have to use social media to get the message out there. And, Lindsay, do you have anything you want to say before we go off the air?
Actually, real quick, Lindsay, next time you are on Susie's show, I want to talk to you about what we are doing in the country of Greece with Miss Mary on the island of Crete. So that's next time. Go ahead.
Wonderful. Yay. Thank you for this platform, and thank you for everything that you do. And when I tune in, it's wonderful what you're doing. So God bless you and thank you. And let's community. It takes a village. So please get educated. Touch bases with all of us. You can, you know, reach Soul Sister, and you can reach Susie and myself, and you know, just let us know what you're doing, and ask how you can help, and we'll point you in the right direction.
Thank you, Lindsay. As always, another amazing woman on our show. Stay tuned to The Advocate and Soul Sister Radio every Thursday live at 5. I'm Susan Shengazar, and I will be with you next week with another guest. And thank you to our producer, Maria Di Giovanni, and all of you listening and tuning into our archives. We love every one of you. And please leave a message if you have a prayer request. God bless you, and see you next week.
Thank you. Bye.
Soul Sister Radio.
Bye.
Rebecca Lawler Limited is the culmination of a lifelong dream for philanthropist and designer Rebecca Lawler. She designed her patented, unique glass heart, which is handcrafted by glass artists in Virginia. Placed in the center is a brilliant gem. The heart can be worn with the Rebecca Lawler Limited signature ribbon or an awareness ribbon of choice. To join the mission of the Hearts of Hope Foundation and add a Rebecca Lawler signature heart to your own personal style, go to RebeccaLawlerLimited.com. That's RebeccaLawlerLimited.com.
Hi, I'm Susan Shengazar. I am the advocate. Are you a healthcare professional facing burnout? Do you have a heart for the homeless? Have you ever been a victim of domestic violence or sexual abuse? You can learn from my experiences in my books, The Anointing of Mercy from the Heart of a Parish Nurse. Or I'll meet you at Winston Wall Street Journals. Journey to My Father's Palace, Destiny, Coincidence, you decide. You can find these books on Barnes & Noble, Amazon.com, or Zulon Press, or Google me.
Hello, Soul Sister listeners. If you're learning and receiving from what you're being fed here on Soul Sister Radio, return the love by becoming a monthly partner of this station via sponsorship, monetary gifts, or as a Soul Sister advertiser. Thank you for your support. Soul Sister Radio.
Welcome to Soul Sister Thursday. This is Maria DiGiovanni, and I want to welcome you back to Soul Sister Radio with Women on the Edge with Becky Ryan. Becky, take it away.
Good afternoon, good evening, good morning.
Good morning.
I don't know which way it is today. It's been very, very hot in Georgia, and so I don't know where our listeners are right now. But I'm experiencing all of the effects because I stayed up until 5:30. It was so hot here.
Ew.
But we now have an air conditioning unit. And how are you doing in sunny, beautiful California?
You know, I am completely blessed because the weather here, although it can get very boring, it is beautiful all the time. And I am blessed because I am right now staring at the, you know, a beautiful ocean view, and I've had nothing but birds visit me all day, and I took pictures of it this morning, and it's really weird because yesterday I stopped off at a bird store that I used to go to because I used to have beautiful Moluccan cockatoos and blue and gold macaws and a lot of different kinds of birds, African grays. And so yesterday I went to the bird store and I was really looking at all these birds thinking, gosh, I want birds, right? And today yeah. I've had nothing but beautiful birds, doves visiting me. Did you see them?
No, I did not see it, but I remember being in California and I had a girlfriend come over because she decided to become a vet tech, so I figured she could find out where the sound was. So I figured, you know, like she was the closest person to the animal people. I thought we had baby owls outside or possibly in my flower pots.
Uh-huh.
And the doves kind of have, you know, like while you're waking up, they kind of sound like, hoo, hoo, hoo.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know, and it's kind of a relaxing thing, but I'm like, I have baby owls somewhere. Come on over. She hears the hoo of the doves that are very much a part of the Los Angeles area.
Oh, yeah.
But not being originally from there. I'm like, it's amazing. Even the owls are up right now. And she's like, really? I can't wait to go see them. We go on outside, and I'm going, you can't hear that? She goes, are you telling me the doves? I love doves. I also had an African gray growing up and a cockatoo and I don't know how many canaries. So
yeah.
I love the birds too.
Yeah, it was funny because really before I left for Virginia, we really didn't have a lot of birds. We were getting a lot of the hummingbirds, but not a lot of birds. And today I've had nothing but birds everywhere.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. You had posted something like, hang on. It was like a poster.
It was the birds. There were two doves outside my window this morning, and I said, you know, don't flinch. I said, you know,
He's got you, and don't flinch. And there were two birds, and I caught them perfectly. One flew down, and I caught it in full flight. It was really amazing.
I thought that was like a poster.
No, that was me clicking on my telephone. What a trip.
I love it. I love it. Okay.
Yeah.
I thought it was like a poster, like, and actually I thought it was like in Rome or something.
Yeah, no, that was right here outside my window.
Okay, you have an amazing view.
I know.
Have to go and check this out and like it.
Yeah, it's a, you know, I'm for as much trials as we are all walking through, and in the flesh, if we look at it all, it's pretty frightening, okay, without getting into detail. However, look at the blessings. I live in the most amazing place, and I love my child, and she's here with me, and my grand dog, and it's very peaceful, and I've got a beautiful ocean view, and doves visit me. I mean, really?
Yes. You are blessed. We're always blessed. Got to make sure that we can find some things that we can pull ourselves through our days. And I was going to go and cover some trends today. And remember when you said something, how blessed we are. And I was thinking about a particular Facebook page called Change. Have you heard of it?
No.
And, okay, what they do is, I'm not 100%, I think that they focus more on everybody sign a petition. But what was trending is Facebook's policy on not allowing people to post mastectomy photos, deformities, surgeries, and after... I'd guess over a year of people being banned, not for their drunk photos, not for their lewd photos, not for their new tattoos. People's Facebooks were actually closed down and shut when people were like, oh, look, I had, reconstructive surgery, or they had opted for a tattoo instead of getting breast implants. And even one man who had to have a double mastectomy. Photos were removed. How many men show their chest?
Right.
So there was a fight about it, and I did go and post on Women on the Edge the article about Facebook finally releasing it and people being proud to show their photos of recovery.
Right.
And the one photo I did pick was a lady who tattooed her entire chest into a blouse. And I'm amazed that it's not a painting. But
right.
There are people out there, when it comes down to Anjali, she just opted because of her risk for breast cancer. And I think there's somebody out there that knows a female. Is a female, will eventually meet a female or a male that might go through this. So I kind of like that maybe some people are taking some proactive steps, and I'm happy Facebook changed their policy. Or I would wish that they would get rid of a whole bunch of those drunk, lewd,
right.
offensive photos. And I don't know how you can stop when somebody recovered. And I was thinking about this. It's almost like you're victimized twice. I know I'm pushing it. There's people out there maybe even thinking I'm pulling it too far. But here you've gone through a process of being told you need a mastectomy. And to go as far as to say you've gone through it, you've been open telling friends, people have been praying for you, go through the whole procedure. You want to go and show a photo, and the photos were not, like I'm telling you, we can see more on Facebook than the photos were. The majority of the people were showing how slight their scar was, so it would be a scar area, or they were doing tattoos, or they posted, you know, I'm happy for my reconstruction. I'm happy to be alive. So they weren't offensive. I'd actually think that they were inspiring. And what are your thoughts on those kind of photos being up there? or where the sensor, the censoring should be?
You know what? I think it takes such bravery to be able to do that. And one of the biggest fears that I think women have is, if that does happen, what is it going to look like? What is it going to be like? And so I don't have a problem with those kind of photos, simply because that's the reality of life. If that's what you choose to do and you choose to go in, and because everybody has their different ways of doing medicine, right? You know, if I would want to know. That's, I would want to know, because that's one of the biggest fears, is what is it going to look like? It was kind of like when I was going through my healing of child sexual abuse, I was wondering always, what did the other little girls look like? And when you started to realize that it looked like everybody,
yeah,
it kind of was less frightening.
One of the nicest things, and you probably, Greece goes topless when they're swimming.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
All right, well, Spain did, and when they had first moved to Marbella, Spain, with my daughters, and to see the breasts, I thought we're going to be seeing a whole bunch of people that I'm going to feel more guilty about. To find out that they come in all shapes, sizes, there had been people with the scars. If you're going to go to a beach, some of the more populated beaches, you're talking about hundreds and hundreds of females down there. So there was quite a few people that had scars, not just mastectomy scars, but scars, period. Mm-hmm. And I remember my daughter one time going, wow, there was a lady that had to have had, she had two nipples on her left side. And she had like a triple E. And now the one side was just very, very small. Nothing, basically only a nipple. I don't even think you can call it an, you know, double A. And the other one had to be close to an E. And then she thought, oh, wow, I thought she's going to go and notice that there was a difference. And she goes, she has three nipples. Do some people have six? And I thought, you know what? My kids don't even notice that I think that there is a difference.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden I looked around and I go, you know what? I've never had such a freeing experience to being so normal. We're all a part of the body of Christ, and sometimes it takes a kid to go and say, we're not staring at this. She just wanted to know if we could have six nipples.
Okay.
That wasn't even what I had noticed, to be honest, the first time. It's like,
right.
Oh, there's a difference there, you know. And for this child to notice that, I thought it was probably an extra freckle.
Right.
I was like, wow. We need to unify as women. We come in all shapes, sizes, cultures, faiths, backgrounds, histories, lineages. Our ancestors are different. Even from the same family, we're different. But yet we're unified. And I would like to know that there are people out there, and if they're proactive about pulling people in through this process, I'm happy for them. If people are suffering quietly, I don't like that. And we're not going to only stay on this one. It's actually an inspiring one. I did put the link up. I think some of the photos were more amazing and more artistic. I didn't want to go into the bystander effect. Have you heard about this?
No. What's that?
Well, right now, I'm going to try to pronounce Nigella. She is, well, do you know who Charles Saatchi is? Of Saatchi
no.
& Saatchi?
No.
Okay, Saatchi & Saatchi is one of the top marketing companies globally.
Okay.
They handle BMW, every advertising, outdoor marketing, indoor marketing, magazines. I think that, you know, it has to be one of the top three, and it could be number one. Anyway, Charles Saatchi was out with his lovely wife, Nigella, and they were at a very, very fancy restaurant, filled with reporters, business people, people that also knew who he was. When he grabbed his wife by the throat, and it ended up being somebody not of the restaurant who took the photo of it.
Okay.
And I posted this because she's not pressing charges.
Oh, God.
And right now, we're going to focus on her. She's the victim of this. Victims find it very difficult, especially when you're married, when your whole entire livelihood, your surroundings have been connected with this person who openly humiliates you, chokes
and this
you.
And this is trending right now, like up there?
Yes, it is. Yes. Very much.
Isn't that interesting?
Now, what is not so much trendy, I'm going to go and send you the link. It is on Women on the Edge under Unity Calls as Nagella Can't Stand Alone.
Okay.
And as I was going through the stories, this one was an article talking about the bystander effect. If you're a witness to something violent, wrong, inappropriate, what would you do? And where the reports are going and people are even wondering, they had paparazzis there that watch this as witnesses.
Oh, yeah.
They didn't do anything. They didn't even lift up their cameras. And they said, how could they not have normal paparazzis are trying to get a hold of them at any time? But this guy has many magazines. He's so powerful. The paparazzis didn't want to take a photo.
Is this the actual picture?
Yes.
Okay.
And they're saying that she's not wanting to press charges. They're having more stories about other people who've witnessed it. They're talking about how her husband is one of the largest globally philanthropists, so there's quite a few organizations that rely heavily on his money. That maybe they kind of didn't want to get involved.
Yeah, it's an interesting place to be when you do put yourself in that paparazzi's place, and without going into any details of anything but my own reality is this. Even though you're sitting there and you may be witnessing something, I think what's happening is we've come into a society where everybody has been affected by abuse in some way, shape, or form. And that moment, it may trigger something that has caused us to go silent. And one never knows what you're going to go through when you've been triggered in that way. So, you know, it's an interesting place to be. I would hope that those of us that are getting stronger in this walk and have been obedient and are doing what God is telling us to do can recognize when those triggers are occurring and that our bounce back time is a little bit quicker than it used to be. And I think, Becky, we're going to find these trending things happening more and more, and this is the reason why you have this show. Because we are women on the edge, and we are at that point where we're not going to stand by and just say, really, you're just going to let this happen? Because the whole world is watching, okay? And
the world is watching, but what will you do?
Yeah, and I think, again, I don't believe in coincidences in life. On the way back from, I was just back east, and the way back home, I met a gentleman by the name of Kenneth V. Hardy, and I was blown away because God, this is a divine connection, and we're at a place, Becky, where we're being listened to, and your show is a huge voice for women such as this woman. What's her name? Jenna Price?
Nagella.
No, Nagella. Nagella Lawson.
Nagella,
right?
Sachi. Well, okay. I think that is the author who wrote about it.
Okay.
Sorry.
Well,
I sent you an instant message with the article.
I know. It's like Unity Calls for Nagella is her name, apparently. And sometimes when we are that victim, we can't open our mouth, okay? But I think that's what makes us unique, and that's what this Mr. Hardy said was unique about what we're doing under FOR and the ambassadors and Soul Sister Enterprise and the radio station and the TV, soon-to-be TV station, is that we are women that are accountable to each other for our walk. And we've all made that commitment to each other to become more and more Christ-like, and we're all accountable to that. You and I have joked quite a bit that, sometimes I don't talk very much because of my jaw, and that you're my Aaron to Moses who stutters.
Well, I'm the one that stutters here, but I have no problem going out there and talking. But I also want to be clear about this one. What is trending is how she's taking on what we would probably call more victim stance, where she's gone in too quiet. She's trying to go and say that this is all right.
Carol Saatchi has gone forward. She is going to protect her abuser at all costs.
Exactly what they're trending about. Twitter is upset.
She does not want to get in trouble. Now, you've got to, this is where women that we are have to have grace and mercy, because we know what it's like to be where she is. And she is afraid, and this is from just me walking this path over and over and over again in my life, to come to a point to say no more. Okay, she is afraid, and this is real fear. So she is going to protect her abuser, because that is what she is used to. And I'm saying this hypothetically because I don't even know this lady. So whatever the verbiage that I'm supposed to say there, Becky? Allegedly.
Well, yes. And allegedly. I know. And we have the photo, though. And he has come out as one of Saatchi as advertising marketing is a publicist. So, you know, he understands how to deal with the public. He's probably one of the top companies paying for Cosmo, Inquirer, any place that they go and they have makeup, beauty, cars. If you have an item that needs to be advertised at a high dollar, you want to be connected with Saatchi. And here's a man whose company is very public. His philanthropy, his buying of art, his extravagant lifestyle, has been in the public. She has not. And when she's being forced into his realm over something that her worst nightmare, and here's a husband who's going out there and he is defending his actions. He said this is playful. He called it playful. He called it quite a few other things. They do have an attorney. She has gone into seclusion, and we're hoping that whoever she's secluded with, that she doesn't go over the logistical area. Okay, great. My home is now is going into a paradigm shift. Her children are going into a paradigm shift. She's about to go through a life-changing event.
Oh, yeah.
That probably has had many steps. She's probably even wondered if it would ever happen, but maybe never like this. But we always have some signs. And she wants to protect to what she used to know. I mean, like, there's something that the coal miner's daughter from way back when.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember her?
Oh, yeah. I'm telling you. I understand this woman. I understand this woman. I'm looking at
all
the pictures.
It's something familiar. Okay, great. She's upset. Now I get to go back to my home. I get to get back into my routine. And I go forward. But the only thing is that the public is saying no. Somebody talk to this lady. She needs to stand up. Her life will be better. She is truly loved and cared for. Do not take the victim, because right now we need a leader, and God bestowed it upon her. And what is also going on in the public mind is that usually in a restaurant-like situation, we hear stories of the restaurant kicking the people out. So the guy experiences some humiliation.
They you know it. What? This is. I got to tell you, this is tripping me out, and you know why, and no, we're not going to talk about it, but you know why.
But it's a story, and this is, I know why.
I mean, really, really, Becky, really, all the way right down to a restaurant.
But here, the humiliation wasn't served. Nobody stood up for this woman. It was a bystander. Do you see it through the trees? I think that I've heard that a chef, somebody walking by, had taken a photo. I don't exactly know who did. What's going on, though, is that those that tend to take the photos cared more about his power. What about this woman? So all of us can relate to our story if anybody's had anything like this. There's always somebody that could be more powerful. We can go and sit here and say, logistically, this isn't right for his future career. What about your kids?
Mm-hmm.
What about the future of other women that this is going to impact?
Oh, yeah.
We sometimes have to think outside of ourselves. Sometimes we have to get ourselves out of the picture. And I think that one of the most commendable people is Jesus Christ, because he did take himself out of the equation and look at others. And he did have some people, 12, say 11, let's get rid of Judas. There's always a Judas. But
yeah.
He did have people that, and when you read towards the very end hours with Christ here on earth, everybody kind of scattered. Sometimes we feel that God puts it on us to be the leader so that you can lead the people that were around you into leadership roles. I don't know what's going to happen. This is just opened up.
When did this happen? What day did this happen?
It was trending yesterday, so I'm not exact. This has down that it was on June 17th. But yesterday
17th.
Is when the articles were coming through.
No. I want to know exactly the day the incident happened and where in the world were they. I want to know what time
I
it was.
I can come back to you on that, because I believe that it was in London.
I want to know.
I want to go and say it was a pretty restaurant, because I'd seen some of the other photos and it looked like it could be Rome.
Yeah,
so,
I want to know exactly the time and the date. We have 2 minutes and 50 seconds. But I want to know the time and the date this happened.
Oh my goodness, I have no idea, but we will post it on the page.
Okay.
I'll say that if there is men, women, people going through things in life that you're being called upon and you're not liking the paradigm shift,
mm-hmm.
reach out. We're here. We have pages. There are people who love and care who've been there. You have friends and family, and if you don't feel that you can trust them, you don't want to open up, you put on some sort of an eggshell like Humpty Dumpty, it's ready to break. Reach out. We understand.
Mm-hmm.
And you can be lifted up, empowered, wherever you are, male, female, young, old. This lady may have had 20 years with Charles Saatchi.
Oh, yeah.
And I really ask that you pray. To be a victim is one thing. To be an overcomer means you help others. If at the very least, start praying for the women, the men, the people that are going through these difficult, trying times on their mind, and at least pray, write about it. Try to find out if there's something you could do in similar situations, and that probably would be something we should have in the future. How do you handle situations like this?
Yeah.
Months ago,
I think I'm in the middle of writing that book.
Okay, good, good.
You got to laugh about it. That's all I can say.
Well, sense of humor helps us out. And I actually think that through my life, humor really does heal me. Jesus
right.
healed me, but it helps heal me. I know that I'm moving forward when I can start laughing.
I know I've gotten rid of all my tears.
Right. You got 30 seconds.
Else.
Where can they get a hold of you?
You can get a hold of me on Women on the Edge with Becky Ryan. You can reach out to me on Twitter. I'm at WebMoxie. And I'm looking forward to next week. We're going to go and find out the day that this had happened. We're going to try to see if we can find some more. And our prayers are with you as we go and connect arm in arm, hand in hand, spirit to spirit, going forward. We are here to become a bigger and brighter part of the body of Christ. Thank you, Miss Maria.
Adios, woman.
Bye.
See you next week on Soul Sister Radio.
Soul Sister Radio. Hello, Soul Sister listeners. If you're learning and receiving from what you're being fed here on Soul Sister Radio, return the love by becoming a monthly partner of this station via sponsorship, monetary gifts, or as a Soul Sister advertiser. Thank you for your support.